Hey everybody, welcome back to Arcade Cozy, the coziest game room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And we're back again. I am back from an island. And Corey,
yes,
you were just back into my heart.
Yes. Yes, I am. How back was your island, though, Chris? How was the island life for you?
So it was quite lovely. We went to an island called Defusky in South Carolina.
Defusky.
Yeah, it's if you're familiar with Hilton Head, South Carolina, or Savannah, Georgia, it's right next to them. But the big draw with Defusky being it's bridgeless, so virtually no cars, very like few hundred people live there permanently, and it's just very like slow paced. And it had like a very just super chill remote island vibe to it. So it was super nice, had a good time. You know, honestly, it was kind of nice to be back again. Because, you know, we were gone for a while and the drive to and from were pretty long. But yeah, we had fun. Did I miss anything while I was gone, Corey?
I mean, there's just maybe one, maybe two. You missed so much, Chris. I was texting you left and right, but also trying to respect your privacy and your time while you're on vacation. But there were some I could not like hold back.
Well, I was looking through the stuff, but it was like, I felt very ill-equipped because we were going, like, they were having these big showcases and, some of them were meatier than you would think they would be. And, it was just kind of a thing where I was playing catch up like in the evening or something. And I'd have to sift through like 20 different things. But yeah, a lot of stuff, Corey. At this point we are post Summer Game Fest. I think everything's wrapped up. Yeah.
Well, I think Summer Game Fest goes through beginning of August, I think.
And so, yeah, I guess technically it is kind of like a couple month long thing. I guess the big showcase cycle, I think, is largely past, but yeah.
Maybe. There's rumors of Nintendo Direct, not next week, but the next. So
what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's but yeah, Corey, it was a beefy one. And that's gonna be the meat of the show because we didn't get to talk about any of them as they were happening. So we're gonna play cleanup. Corey, people listening, expect today five highlights from me, five highlights from Corey. We don't have time for hundreds and hundreds of games. Mm-mm. No, we're gonna talk about some of the beefiest ones that caught our attention. Mm-hmm. Do a little bit of cleanup and leave it there. Move on, and you know, let the others come to us as they do. Corey. I mean, without any further ado, let's get going. First, there was an Xbox showcase, there was a Capcom showcase, there was Sega had a thing, some of the other ones had little things, but honestly, like, you know, I don't know how you feel, share with me in a moment, but it seemed, I think, a lot beefier than most people were expecting. I think after like PlayStation's big
kind of
showcase thing. Usually PlayStation kind of hits it pretty hard. And the fact that theirs was like, you know, a little bit muted. I think probably people were like, well, I mean, if Sony's is not, it's not hitting it, then what chance does Xbox have? And I will say, like, Xbox, very surprising, the amount of stuff that they had come out of that. So yeah, there was a lot of cool stuff being shown off.
I think kind of really can't say much more than that. I went in with very low expectations, and sure enough, I was very surprised. I mean, I'm gonna probably talk about a couple of Xbox games, even though I don't have an Xbox. You know, they, I think, had some really promising announcements and like showed off a lot of stuff. So We'll get into that in a little bit, but I guess I'll go ahead and kick us off.
Kick us off. What was something that you you were excited about?
So it didn't really show up at Summer Games Fest or the Xbox or any other ones. It showed up in after the Summer Game Fest when they were talking with like indie developers. Hyper Light Breaker had a small segment with their, I think the director of the game, where they showed off a little bit of gameplay. No new trailer, but it looked pretty much like they took the ideas from Solar Ash, which we talked about when it came out, which I still think is one of the best pure movement games I've ever played. Like, you know, like the technical like aspect of how you get from point A to point B was stunning and still remains to be. It was like they've taken that art style and a little bit of that system and just combined that with Hyper Light Drifter. So it looks really cool. Looks pretty interesting. Like it is just a mesh of those two, which is kind of disappointing from an art style perspective because I just love Hyper Light Drifter's art style so much. But from what they've shown, it looks so much. It has the same atmosphere and the same tone that Hyper Light Drifter has, just in that art style of Solar Ash. So,
gotcha.
Looks very good. They talked about, like, you know, they're trying to advance what they're trying to do, and the best way to do that is with this like rapid fire movement system and action that's combined with these two genres. And that's what Hyper Light Breaker is going to be. So looks phenomenal. I don't know if you got to see it, I'm a big fan of both of those games. And so it's on my list and I'm very, very excited for it. They didn't show much, so I can't talk more than that. It was probably only like a 10-minute segment window where they showed like maybe 45 seconds to a minute of gameplay.
Yeah.
I think they said it might be in early development or like in beta later this year for people to play. But I don't expect a full release till probably like end of next year.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I didn't see that specifically. I mean, I've seen, you know, Hyper Light Breaker stuff whenever they've shown it before. But yeah, I hadn't seen that. That's cool. I still need to, I mean, I have Hyper Light Drifter on my PlayStation loaded up. I should play Solar Ash. I just haven't. So
I think Hyper Light Drifter is very up your alley with this Souls-like combat and everything that it's doing. I think you really, really like it.
Yeah, it's always been a thing where I'm like, oh, once I get around to playing this game, I'm going to really like it. I just haven't made it that far, but I should, especially before Breakers comes out.
Yes.
When does Breaker come out?
They don't have a release date. That's gotcha. The big thing. They said it'll probably be in like beta or like, what is it? Early access, whatever it's called, where you can kind of play essentially like what they have done of it. They said that's probably coming later this year.
Okay.
But it won't be a full release. So
gotcha. Mm. Awesome. Sweet. Diving in to some Xbox stuff. I mean, I guess one of the big ones, Fable. Fable.
Yeah. This is on my top five.
Yeah, we mentioned it's last episode being like, hey, it'd be cool to see something. And that was kind of the big, one of the big things coming out of the Xbox showcase was just this big trailer that showed, I mean, it was a lot of gameplay stuff. I mean, it was a trailer. It wasn't like a gameplay showcase, but I mean, a lot of it looked like in-game footage of
they showed stuff. Combat too,
right? But yeah, it has how do you say his name from the IT crowd, Richard Ayoade? Oh. Is that his name?
Sure.
Okay.
I know who you're talking about. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm not going to butcher it. I'll let you.
Yeah, he's a comedian. he's in a handful of things. But yeah, he was kind of the prominent face of the trailer because he plays, I guess, a giant in the game. And it just, like, looking at the trailer, you know, again, it was one of those things where I didn't see it in the moment, so I didn't necessarily have, like, the wow hit that maybe could have for whatever, but like I was just kind of watching this stuff after I saw that this stuff was coming out. But I think it was just really, it seemed like it really was nailing that Fable tone. Like, have you ever, have you played any of the Fable games?
I haven't played any of them. I've watched like Let's Plays on YouTube.
Yeah. And I think that that's one of the things with the Fable games that is like, there is a unique feeling to them. Similar, I mean, maybe not similar, quote unquote, but like, it's the way that I would think of like the Discworld series from Terry Pratchett. Mm-hmm. Like it's fantasy, but there's a lot of humor. It's a lot of like in jokes and a lot of this kind of stuff. And that is core, whimsical. Right. That's the core to Fable, is like Fable has deep, dark stories and like some big moving like villains and like just characters. And like, you really feel attached to a lot of these things, but they really do infuse a lot of humor, and they really do have a very specific perspective that I think like has to be nailed for it to feel like a Fable game. And it seems like that's what they're doing. It seems like they're really tuning into that well. I think one of the core things that I've always found fascinating is that like, there's in the Fable games, like you're playing a hero, quote unquote, but like being a hero almost kind of feels like, it kind of feels like everybody tolerates you. Like, it doesn't feel like people are like praising heroes so much. It feels like they're just kind of like, yeah, we just need to, they're going to do their thing. We just need to get like, look at this guy. He's running around like kicking chickens. We just need to, we need to stay out of his way and just let him do his thing. And you know, there's a very just fun tone to everything going on. And it's very like British humor in a lot of spots. And at least looking at the trailer, like it seems like they're tuned into that. And I'm excited too, because it is the developers, behind, Forza Horizon. And I mean, they're really well versed in making great open world games. So I'm sure it's gotta be pretty exciting for them to make a non driving game. So also too, I mean, if at some point in Fable you get a car, you can tell it's going to be tight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, it's going to be good.
Fable was also on my list of top five. I'll replace it with another, that way. We still both have five. I'm sure there's another one that's going to overlap, but no, it looks so good. As soon as they started showing the trailer and they opened with that, I'm like, is this Fable? This feels very Fable. Just from what I've seen of it. And when it was, I'm like, oh, Chris called it. That's the only thing I was thinking in my head. But yeah, it looks very, very good. Gameplay, the little that they showed, can't give like a, I don't think a like a super accurate take on it, but okay. I think I said a couple weeks ago, one of my friends described me, he was like, if there's a sword and a little bit of medieval and like a dragon, it's for you. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. It is for me. And guess what? It's not a dragon. It's a giant. And I'll go tit for tat on that one and say same thing. Sure. Same energy. And yeah, I'm pumped for Fable. I think I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get any like release window or release date. I think it just said, I don't think it said anything. I think it was just Fable.
Yeah. I don't know.
But
at most, it gave like a, if anything, it just said 2024, basically.
Yeah.
So it, if that even.
Will not happen.
Yeah.
But regardless, super exciting. I'm glad they showed it off. I'm glad it's not just like they announced it a couple years ago and like, oh yeah, we're doing another Fable. And then it just phased to obscurity. It's like, okay, no, here's a full trailer. Here's a little bit of gameplay. We'll show you more when we're ready. And I'm like, all right, take your time. Like, I know it's going to be great, and I'll be patient. I'll wait. So yeah, Fable looks amazing.
Yeah. Love it. What else you got, love Corey?
I'm going to go ahead and start off with number two. This is what kicked off Summer Games Fest, Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown.
Yeah,
coming boy. January 2024. I saw some people dunking on this online. I'm like, why? And most people are just mad. It's not like the full 3D Prince of Persia thing. They were
wanting
essentially that, I guess, like PS2 game. But for me,
well, and there's also like, I think some, which I mean, I feel like I've played a little bit of Prince of Persia, but I'm not like a diehard Prince of Persia fan. And I think that was also some of it was like, well, that's not our prince. That's not, how can you have a Prince of Persia without the prince of Persia? Like, and so, yeah, people have been making big poo-poos about it. But
they can make all their poo-poos they want. I think it looks great.
Yeah.
I love a 2D platformer, especially with this combat. I'm like, okay, this is a PS2 game just brought to life on PS5. And I love that style. It looks like it's going to play great. With just what they've shown, you never know what happens when it comes to release, but what they showed looks like it's going to play great. Looks like it's going to have good boss battles, good platforming, good. Not going back and forth. What's the word? Like backtracking is going to be a thing. Like it's more than just like you play it through all together. I think it's going to be a really good game. It's starting off 2024. I really like the art style to it. Yeah, it just looked good. It captured my attention, and the whole time I'm like, yeah, I think I would dig this. It kind of gave me a little bit of Hades vibes with some of its action and some of like how they had you dashing around, like some of the combat, like just the way your character is moving. I'm like, okay, Prince of Persia with a little bit of Hades, not quite Hades scope. Because that's that, you know, over the top moving through random dungeons. This is more probably a linear aspect, but all around, yeah, Prince of Persia. Happy the franchise is back. Excited to see how it lands on its feet with this kind of 2D platform style, but 3D platform. And all around, pumped.
Yeah, very, very excited about it. I think it's, I mean, and that's the tough thing is like, so it's been, who knows how long, 10 years plus since any Prince of Persia, anything. I don't even know what the last thing was, but yeah, I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal's movie might have been the last Prince of Persia, anything. But I mean, and I can imagine it's tough. Like if you fell in love with, I mean, say they bring back Jack and Daxter and it's not Jack or Daxter. And then it's like, well, what am I even playing? Like, you know, I mean, it may not be one-to-one, but I imagine like if you fell in love with Prince of Persia on the PS2 and you played through that entire trilogy and then you're wanting to play as the Prince of Persia. That being said, I might be mistaken, who knows, but like, I don't think the original Prince had like this really distinct personality the way that you know, other games like Ratchet and Clank or Sly Cooper, like may raise that kind of stink. But like they had Prince of Persia, the 2008 video game that came out on like 360, PS3. That was a different Prince. It was essentially kind of a reboot. Very colorful, very cool. I loved it. I played through it, had a blast. And that's kind of what it reminds me of. Like this is, I mean, granted that was a 3D thing, but like this has the same kind of like bright flashes of color, really distinct art style, that seems like the stuff that you would look for in a Prince of Persia game is like solid platforming, puzzles, like really good, like combat. The fact that this has this, like that it is very distinct, that it's not just being some random ass little, like it's the Prince, but like it, there's nothing else defining it. Like it has all of the like rewind mechanics. It has the like Metroidvania elements. Like they're really leaning into a lot of that stuff. And apparently based on like demo things, everybody seems super hot on just how fun it is.
Yeah.
So I'm very like, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really good and I think it's going to be really cool. And I'm, you know, all about just like, especially too, I mean, the fact that like the Prince of Persia reboot has been like in development hell for years now. And who knows if that ever comes out, like, I mean, I feel like I would rather just have a good Prince of Persia game than wait for a reboot that might never come, but even if it does, it may just kind of suck. So
I don't know.
It
definitely feels like this team is seeing what's really working right now for, I guess, a lot of older IPs that are coming back. Yeah, and it's not making this gigantic open world, like Horizon, Breath of the Wild, Elden Ring, Witcher-esque game. It's more, we need to make it a tight, concise, very fun game. What's the best way for us? Like, this is the easiest, like, form for us to do that. Metroid Dread has done extremely well. Talking that the Metroidvania, you have games coming out of nowhere. Like I already said, like Hades, it works super well. Dead Cells, that's come out in this time. Crash Bandicoot 4 came back with basically their same style, just with a couple modern twists. And I think they see that and like, okay, this is the best avenue for this idea and what we're wanting to do is going to work. And like you said, everyone online saying it plays very well, it's very fun, and all around, it's a day one pickup.
Yeah. Love it. My next one, which is one that, like, everything seemed to indicate that this was a, like, world premiere, and we've seen this before, but Banisher's Ghosts of New Eden, is a game that it's from Focus Entertainment's Don't Nod.
They did Don't Nod is Vampire, I believe, or Vampire. Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly when, but there was a like cinematic trailer at one point setting it up, and it kind of seemed like a Witcher-esque kind of thing, where it was this character who was like, seemed like he was out with the entire intent of like banishing ghosts. Mm-hmm. But he was also like married, seemed like he was in love, like his wife, or girlfriend, or you know, whoever it was, was a ghost and had passed away. And now they're working together to do that. So there was this kind of, I remember the trailer, but I say all that to say the new trailer that came out said world premiere. So it was a little confusing for me because it felt like a Mandela moment.
No, it was definitely shown off at like a PlayStation showcase like 2 years ago, I think.
I don't even know if it was that long ago, but like we haven't seen anything more than that, like small trailer. But this was like a bigger trailer with gameplay and stuff and just looked really slick. Like, it has like kind of third person over the shoulder action. It showed these characters like fighting, and you're like seemingly like seamlessly switching between these characters where it's like you're the human character and you're using like your sword and your gun, and then the ghost character is using like spectral magic stuff, and then like when you're exploring the world, you know, you can switch between them, and she can see ghosts that he can't, and there's different, and I imagine there's a lot of like puzzle stuff that ties into it and stuff, but like it's just a really, it seems really cool and unique. And it also, like, I think it has almost kind of like a, I don't know where it's set, and I could have missed that, but it seems like it almost kind of has like an Americana fantasy vibe. Like, it's not, like, more of the witch direction of things as opposed to like The Witcher, which is more like traditional fantasy where you're having the dragons, you're having the, like, the stuff that you would expect from a fantasy game. This seems more focused around like the ghosts, around like the, like, occult and things like that, which I think is cool and a cool, like, just bend to it. But
I think it takes place in like the New England area colonies. I'm pretty sure that they said something. I think it was in the original trailer or something like that. It was like New England, like 1700 something.
Yeah, so it says New Eden, 1695.
It's close.
Yeah, there are ghost hunters who vowed to protect the living from the threat of lingering ghosts and specters. Yeah, Okay, so the original trailer was in December of 2022. So it probably came out at the Game Awards last
probably,
year. But yeah, that was shown off then, gameplay for the first time recently, but says end of 2023. So that is cool. One more game just slipping right under the right under the radar there. But yeah, it looks really cool. Looks really neat. And I mean, I'm not super familiar. Okay, so the developer is Don't Nod. The publisher is Focus. So I mean, Don't Nod, yeah, like they've been all over the place with different like styles of things in the past. I mean, they obviously made Life is Strange, but they also did Vampyr. They've done there was a French like cyberpunk one that was called what? Remember Me. That's what it was. That was also cool, but you know, not like the greatest game in the world. So yeah, I'm excited about it. Which speaking of, just in case it doesn't come up, Don't Nod had a pretty huge presence at Summer Games Fest because they also showed off Jusant, which was like a climbing game that looks really good. Yeah. Had kind of like the Sable vibe to it, where it was at least like an art style and just kind of like more exploration focused approach.
A little Sable, a little bit of like Last Guardian.
Yeah. Yeah.
With essentially Breath of the Wild climbing esque.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They and then they just released or are releasing this week Harmony. Fall of Reverie, is that what it's called? Which I think may have been shown off last year because I remember it looked really cool. So it's there's tough. Also
there's release window with Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah. Fortunately for them though, I think it's more of like a visual novel type thing. So it is a very, it's a different style of game. So if you're like looking for that, it probably is not going to compete with some of the stuff going on right now. But, kudos to Don't Nod. They're getting it this summer.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I guess Jusant didn't make my top five. It was like number six or seven, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks really good. Like, it captured... I point to Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom because I just love climbing in those games so much. I rarely use ascent. Bar, like, situations where it's absolutely needed. I love just, like, the climbing aspect of it. That, with that, like you said, Sable-esque art style, it gave me Last Guardian vibes as well. I'm like, this is something I think that I could get really, really into. And it just looks so pretty. And I think the simplicity of what it probably is so just alluring to me. Sorry, Jusant, you didn't quite make the top five, but I'm glad we talked about it because it looks so cool. But my next one, lining up at number three, which is very fitting, Persona 3 Reload. Which got leaked ahead of time. Shout out to that Atlas intern who got fired by all indications.
You did us a service, though.
You did us a service. Persona 3 Reload. I'm very excited for it. Also, a little disappointed by it. but it is the remake of Persona 3, the original Persona 3. I think that's kind of the disappointing part of where they said they're not going to have, I believe it's the Fez version or the female MC main character in it, which is kind of disappointing because this is your chance to have the definitive version of the game. Like, this is a game that's it originally came out in 2001, you know,
early 2000s,
early 2000s. You had two different types of releases for it since then. You just did a port, Persona 3 Portable, out onto all the other platforms, and now you're doing a full remake of it, and you're not just going to make it the definitive edition, the one Persona game that has like three different editions, and you're not going to just condense it down, I think is one, disappointing. Two, just a stupid move on their end. And most people are kind of in agreement with that from what I've seen. But taking that aside, it's so freaking cool that we're getting Persona 3 Remake in the Persona 5 style. They're very much taking that art style and taking it into that. But gosh, I'm so pumped for that. I had held off on playing Persona 3 because there had been so many rumors of the remake, and I feel vindicated now that I have held off on it.
Yeah.
I think the ocean theme that they're going is just like looks incredible. It's matching with the blue so much. I know it does deal with a bit heavier themes than 3 and 5 do in the realm of self-harm. So, you know, be aware of that if it's a game you're wanting to play or wanting to look into. But all around, I love Persona. I beat Persona 4 Golden. I don't know if we talked too much about it when I did beat it because it lined up around Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
But I loved it. That and 5 are, you know, 5 might be one, might be my favorite game ever. 4 is one of the best games ever played as well. Probably like top 15, top 10 maybe. And I know like 3 is just going to be so into my wheelhouse. It's coming out early next year. I think they said March of 24. I would be happy if they delayed it to get everything into it. That remains to be seen if they will do that. But all around, Persona 3 Reload, you look incredible. I'm so pumped.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about it too. I mean, that was the main reason that I held off playing it for the remastered edition that came out earlier this year. Just because, you know, it's one of those things where Persona has, I mean, it's pretty much like an agreed upon thing. The Persona's just kind of gotten better as you go through them. Like, people have preferred, like, I like these characters better, or I like this story, but by and large, like, the experience of playing the game, most of what Persona, like, is renowned for is usually at its most refined in the latest iteration. And, you know, Persona 3 had, like, struggled in a lot of those regards, just in the fact that it's, like, it's a 20-year-old game. And so playing it nowadays, you're going to feel some of that, some of that baggage. But yeah, I mean, the fact that they really are beefing it up with like a taking Persona 5's art style and just running with that and doing it up that way, I think is great. Even if it's the same core thing, like it has randomized dungeons and, you know, isn't fully the same way as like Persona 5, or isn't developed the same way to the same extent, I still think it'll be just a huge boost to be able to play a more modernized version. So yeah, I'm excited about it. That'll be the one that I go in for whenever it releases.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, just getting more Persona is phenomenal. Didn't quite make my list either, but they had another announcement at listed of another game that they're doing. I think what Memento.
So that was the one that I was going to go with. Metaphor Refantasio. Refantasio
looks just more sci-fi Persona.
Well, it looks more like fantasy Persona.
Fantasy
more
than sci-fi. Anything. Yeah,
because. Yeah, yeah, it's a game. So it was originally, like, I think codenamed as Project Fantasy or Re-Fantasy or something.
Yeah.
Like 6 or 7 years ago. So basically whenever like Persona 5 was announced, they already had like this in the works. And this is very much like I think it remains to be seen, like if it's gonna play the same as like Persona, like the Persona games or the Shin Megami Tensei games, but from all intents and purposes, right, it looks like it's the same style of thing. It's also made by, like, it's not just Atlas. It's made by the creative team behind Persona 3, 4, and 5. Like, there's a lot of connections that seem to indicate that, oh yeah, this is going to be...
This is just Persona, but a little different.
Right, an extension of that, like, sort of thing into a new universe, which is super cool. Like, the trailer looked really neat, looked a lot of fun, had a lot of the same style and a lot of the same just like interesting elements to it that you would see in like a Persona game. So the fact that they're like pushing that out and making some cool new like story, lore, world, whatever it is, like I'm excited about it. I will eat that up all day long. So and they also announced Persona 5 Tactica too. Which is I'm not sure if it's made by the same people that did it, but has the similar art style to the Persona Q games that came out on 3DS, where it's a little bit more like chibi. But Persona 5 Tactica is like it's a tactics game and looks also really cool. Like probably like a smaller project, but it looks like it'll be a really cool thing too. So I'm excited about that.
Same. Yeah. It looks fun. And I will eat up whatever this team is putting out.
Yeah, boy.
So wait, is it your turn or is it my turn now?
I'll go. I mean, Metaphor was on my list, but I'll go with another one. Citizen Sleeper 2. Probably one of the more like surprising things, because I don't know that I would. Right. Yeah. I mean, the fact that I don't think I would have, if we got another Citizen Sleeper, I didn't think that we would. I mean, there's no release date on it, but just the fact that we were like, this game came out last year, was on our Game of the Year list, like, was really up in the running. And the fact that like Citizen Sleeper 2 was announced and just kind of like set up that way, I can't imagine. I mean, unless they're like really doing it up and making this huge, massive thing, I can't imagine it would take that long for them to put it out, just given what the game is, which is largely, you know, a lot of writing, a lot of dialogue, things like that. But Citizen Sleeper was the game last year, if you remember, where you are basically kind of like an android figure who travels to a space station to kind of you were a person whose consciousness was transferred over into the sleeper, and you kind of like escape your lifetime of servitude, and you're essentially on the run. And so you're kind of like making your home in the space station while you're trying to survive, and you're trying to like evade capture, and you're building these relationships with locals and citizens on the base. But a lot of the gameplay was very just like, you wake up, it rolls dice, you make choices based on like the success of those rolls and things like that. And so it's very like, the gameplay of it was very limited, but there was enough with it where you were making choices and doing things that it felt very like engaging and interesting. And I can't imagine Citizen Sleeper 2 would not be just more of that. And the story of it differently is, I don't know that there's like a ton of story, but it sounds like in this one you are building a life on a ship with a crew. So it looks more, so it looks like it's a different setup, potentially a different dynamic for what you're doing. But sounds pretty cool.
Yep.
Super into it.
I think I've seen that they're doing actual voice lines. Like they will have people voicing characters. So I can see that maybe taking a little bit longer, but other than that, I'm with you. The basic premise of the game is very simple. So as long as you have the writing done, I can't see it taking a lot of time to make, really, because there isn't a ton of like change in your map or where you're going.
Right.
So I could see that coming maybe later this year, early next year. Yeah. Citizen Sleeper, I think, is a masterpiece. I think, what did I have it on my list last year? Number three,
yeah.
I think. But it's a game I constantly think about. No, I had it number four. I think I would move it to number three. And okay. I had Plague Tale Requiem there.
Oh, yeah.
I think I would put Citizen Sleeper there. I do really like Plague Tale Requiem, though. That's really good.
If they announced Plague Tale, what would it be? Was Requiem 3 or was that 2? It was
2.
2. They announced Plague Tale 3. Would you be more or less excited about that than Citizen Sleeper 2?
Less, with just how Plague Tale Requiem ends. That okay. makes sense. It wouldn't be the same cast. They would have to do a different cast.
Gotcha.
That might sound spoilery. It's not really, but I guess it kind of can be. They would 100% have to do a different cast.
Gotcha.
But I would be very excited for that, but I am more excited for Citizen Sleeper 2. I think the okay. Plague Tale games, it's definitely the Amicia and Hugo dynamic is, I think, wonderful. The sibling love and how that unfolds, so good.
Love it.
But yeah, Citizen Sleeper is just like, I mean, the whole concept is like, what does it mean to be a person? What does it mean to have to be sentient, you know? Who has a right to say what you can or cannot do, X, Y, Z. Oh, phenomenal.
Love it.
Need Citizen Sleeper 2. We could talk about that all day. Next, for me, has to be the Like a Dragon Gaiden. However Gaiden? You want to say it. I don't know. Which is Yakuza 8, but they're shifting away from the Yakuza name, so it's just Like a Dragon, Gaiden.
Oh. Well, so no. So you're wrong, Corey. You're wrong, Corey. Yakuza Infinite Wealth, or Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth is Yakuza 8. And then Like a Dragon... Gaiden : the man who erased his name is a story set between six and seven. Yeah.
Sorry, I had that wrong then.
Yeah. So they have talked about both. But yeah, Gaiden is coming out later this year. It's a Kiryu story talking about because Kiryu's last main game is 6. And then you move over into 7, or Like a Dragon, which is Ichiban's first game. And so Gaiden is set between the two, kind of showing what Kiryu was getting up to. Meanwhile...
Apologies, then, because I just got the names wrong. It's Like a Dragon 8.
Yes. Infinite Wealth is 8. Yes. The one with the Neki Ichiban.
Neki Ichiban in Miami.
Gosh,
Yakuza 8, whatever. We're just gonna call it.
Call yourself an Ichi Stan.
I am an Ichi. Anyway, I'm very excited for it just because it's the follow up to Ichiban's story, who is one of my favorite characters in gaming. You can go back to any of our earlier episodes to hear me rave about that man. But I'm so excited mainly for this team to what seems to be exploring a new world. Every Yakuza / Like a Dragon game, barring the spinoffs, have taken place on the same exact map up until Like a Dragon, which added a new map, but also still had the same old map. And it looks like Ichi is going for a trip in Miami, which means a whole new environment, a whole new world. And I'm excited to see how they tackle that, and how do they take the wackiness and the weirdness that kind of just seems to fall into sometimes the Japanese culture and that life, or just the general acceptance of what's normal with a lot of those games, because so much of those side quests and mini games and dynamics are so foreign I don't know if that's actually like how it is. I can't speak on that. But to take Ichiban and put him into a fish out of water situation in the world of Miami, I'm like, okay, is this still going to feel like Yakuza, or are we moving like GTA vibes? Like, what is this going to be? Regardless, I'm so excited to see, because I need more Ichi in my life.
Yeah.
But altogether, very, very excited for it. They didn't, I don't think they gave us a release date for it. They might have just said 2024 on it.
Yeah, it's 2024. I think the assumption is like first half. I don't know if they've made that clear, but
we'll see.
But I mean, that studio, Ryuga Gotoku, they are pretty good about like cranking that stuff out, because Like a Dragon Ishin came out.
Well, they have like a whole engine like dedicated to it. Like,
yeah. I mean, Ishin came out in February, Gaiden's coming out in November. I mean, they've done the same thing where they're also the developers of like the Judgment games that were coming out. And like, I think Judgments and like a Dragon, Lost Judgment and Like a Dragon 7 were like really close together. And so like they've put some pretty like, they can pump them out when they want to. So yeah, I'm interested. It also does have, like, it's supposed to be dual protagonist. Like, Kiryu is supposed to have a really big part in 8 as well. So, super excited.
I wonder, with the dual protagonist, I've been thinking about this since they've announced that, is, will it be a dual play style? Like, because Yakuza Like a Dragon with Ichi was a famous departure from their kind of beat 'em up style with Kiryu in the previous 6 games, and where it went to turn-based. And I'm like, okay, are we going to stick with turn-based for Ichi and then kind of stick with that beat 'em up style for Kiryu, or are both going to be turn-based, or are we going to just step away? Well, we're not stepping away from it, because they said every game going forward is going to be that. I'm just interested to see, like, okay, is this like what's the move here? Like, is it going to be a little bit of both, or are we just like one lane the whole way?
Yeah. I would guess that, because I think that that's the plan, is that all of the mainline games going forward are turn-based. And so I would imagine it's some sort of like, maybe they kind of like split, like Ichiban, he's waking up in America. So you're kind of like going through with him, and then Kiryu, you're maybe playing some back in Japan, and maybe there's just kind of like a split between them trying to tell these stories. But yeah, I mean, they've also seemed very dedicated to keeping like fans who preferred the original style of game like happy, because like the Gaiden game is going to play like traditional Yakuza. Ishin played like traditional Yakuza, even though it's different because it was set in a different time period. So they're like, you know, it seems like they're very dedicated to continuing to have those games with the beat 'em up style. But yeah, I figure going forward, because of that too, I figure going forward, like the mainline games will just stay turn-based. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited about it. Can't wait. Yeah.
Curious to see
love how it plays out. Yo, boy. What else was there, Corey?
I mean, there's a big
one. Let's say, because I don't think you're going to mention it. I want to mention it. Sandland.
Okay. I did see Sandland.
Sandland.
Dragon Ball Z / Dragon Quest / weird game.
So it is by Bandai. It's Akira Toriyama. I mean, it's a manga that's been out for like 2 decades. Like it's a thing that's been around for a while. But it's basically kind of like, what if Akira Toriyama kind of did his own take on like Mad Max, maybe?
Yeah.
Or like it's very like deserty, almost kind of like post-apocalyptic seeming, but it has just that whole style. It looks very Dragon Quest, very Dragon Ball Z, but it seems kind of like action-y. But like the trailer just looked really cool. I mean, and if nothing else, like the color of it, the like world of it seemed very just cool and interesting. And like, you know, and I mean, I grew up on Dragon Ball Z, love Dragon Quest, love, and also just love the art style, like things like Blue Dragon, things like Chrono Trigger, all of these things with Akira Toriyama's art style, you know, I can get into because they just look so cool.
Yep.
So I don't think there was any sort of release date for it. If so, it was just kind of a vague 2024, but it looks really cool, looks really polished, and also kind of like potentially gives a glimpse at what like a Dragon Quest 12 would look like, because it does, it's that same art style, but it seems just like just beefed up a little further.
A little crisper. A little crisper.
Shinier. So it may also kind of give a little bit of a look as to what that'll look like whenever we finally hear more about Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest 12. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Dragon Quest.
No,
you didn't mean it.
No, I'm with you in that. It definitely, I think the Mad Max comparison, it's pretty spot on. It looks like his take on what a Mad Max would be. And it looks wacky. It looks fun. If you like those stories, it looks like something that you will like in this one, where it's very much the outcast or the person who you don't think would be the hero is stepping up to be the hero. I'm excited for it. I didn't make my list. But yeah, it looks neat.
Yep. You play as a
little demon, a little angry demon man.
You play as Demon Prince Beelzebub. And you're helping, I think, to get water from the king and his greedy butt to give to the people. So
Mad Max.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of like a Robin Hood story set in the Mad Max universe.
Honestly, sold. I'm in.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. Love it. Excited about it.
All right. Last one for me, and it's a layup. I mean, how can we not talk about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth?
Oh, yeah.
The follow-up to the Final Fantasy VII remake, where it is essentially the next part of it. And boy, oh boy, does it look incredible. From gameplay to art style to, I guess, just graphics, whatever you want to call them, to the endless possibilities of the story that they opened up, the can of worms that they opened up at the end of Remake. I won't say much more than that, other than go play it for yourself. Final Fantasy VII,
which Chris still has not. So, just...
Sir?
Just so you're aware.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Well, I mean, that's the tough thing, is like, I very much would love to play Remake, but it's every single time I mean, it's not like I haven't played games that are as long as Remake multiple times over since it's come out, but I somehow justify playing something else over Remake every single time. So
you should absolutely, you need to play Remake. But yeah, Rebirth, they said it's going to be on two discs. They describe it doesn't sound like, there's an install disc and then there's like the gameplay disc. It's like, no, there's two gameplay discs is the vibe, which is insane. That's the first that there will be, I feel like, in a long time, since PS1 days, really, I guess.
Not necessarily. Like, Remake was on two discs, wasn't it?
No.
Or I think those weren't two gameplay discs?
No, I mean, like, Last of Us 2 has, like, an install disc, and then, like, their game disc. Red Dead 2 has an install disc, and their game disc.
I will say, Lost Odyssey, Xbox 360, Final Fantasy-like JRPG, four gameplay discs. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they said it's two gameplay discs, so I'm like, okay. where you are going to be, they've taken the barren open world of the original Final Fantasy VII and turned it into a dreamlike atmosphere. Yeah, I'm so freaking excited for that. Every time I see it, I can't believe it's real, kind of a thing. I've watched the trailer a couple times. Yeah, it's very exciting. It's really, I can't wait. I just can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, I was less excited about it on obviously because I didn't watch much of it because I haven't played Remake. Yeah. And I didn't want to go through it and be like, oh, here's all the stuff that I missed in Remake. Even though like I'm the further that we get from it, the more that I'm starting to piece some of those things together, unfortunately. But yeah, I need to go and play Remake to have like the full level of excitement. I would also like to play Crisis Core's Remake too.
Yeah, I would as well.
PlayStation. But yeah, I need to make it a point that I'm going to do that at some point soon. Yeah. But there's so much stuff, Corey.
There's so much stuff. I mean, Final Fantasy 16, while we're recording, comes out like in 5 days.
Oh yeah. It'll be out whenever this episode releases. It'll be out in a couple of days. So
yeah, no, it's so many games.
Yeah. My last one, just to highlight, not that I'm like over the moon excited about it, but I think it's worth talking about, Starfield. Yeah. I think, you know, Starfield, they had their like big 45 minute to hour long, direct showcase dedicated specifically to Starfield. I didn't watch most of it. I kind of skimmed through, jumped around, just because I was trying to play catch up. But I will say, like, you know, we've said on this show that we're not like super excited about Starfield for a number of reasons. And it made me more excited for certain aspects of Starfield. I think like the combat seems like it is. I mean, Bethesda has always been known for really like janky combat.
Yep.
Where like, especially in Fallout games, you kind of rely on their like VAT system, which lets you pause and pinpoint like auto fire on certain parts of the body. Like you kind of rely on that just to even play the game. This seems like it has like it almost seemed legit first person shooter like level kind of refinement, which is cool. Like that makes for a really big thing. And they just had a lot of like really neat emergent aspects in the same way that like I mean I remember whenever Skyrim came out, there were so many big things like, oh, you know, you could be in a town and a dragon could just show up at any point. And like just stuff like that just seemed unreal at the time. Like the fact that they're doing, you can engage in like piracy where you just pull up on this ship and you take it over and like now it's your ship and you like just these really, it seems like they're really going all out on trying to make a lot of these aspects really smart and refined. My biggest hang up continues to be the sheer amount of like what they're doing. Because, you know, they talk about, oh, it's going to be 1,000 worlds and, you know, you can go over here. And it's like, realistically though, how many of those worlds do I want to go to? Like, if I land on one, what are the chances that it's going to actually be fun to be on that world? What are the chances that anything on it is going to be interesting other than just I wander around and like maybe find some loot or whatever? Like, is there, if I go to it, is there going to be something exciting to find? Like something new, something like that I can't find anywhere else. Even if it's just like a puzzle, even if it's just like a piece of armor, like, you know, if it's just like randomly generated chests with a random piece of loot and random whatever, that's a lot less interesting to me. I think the counterpoint to that being like, it seems like they're making Starfield for a lot of different people. Like, they're not just making it as like, oh, here's a big RPG with this very specific lane of what you can do. It does seem like, even if that's the case, it does seem like they're trying to take this approach of, hey, if you want the classic, you know, just straightforward big story thing, we got it. If you want to do, if you want to go kind of in the more like romanceable companions and do like cool side quests, like you can do that too. If you want to like No Man's Sky it and just really like go all out on like exploring every planet and finding these unique experiences and doing all, like, we have that for you too. And that like seems like their approach. I think it's a difficult thing to kind of wrap your head around until you play it, until you experience it. Mm-hmm. I think until we get there and we actually see like what is the quality of this stuff and how much of it is like seems really engaging, or if it's really just like there are five really good planets and there are 995 just like random ass planets, you know, I think it's just something that we have to kind of get. But their direct, their showcase, really cool. Like, I appreciate them going into detail and talking about all that stuff and being like, hey, they're companions. Hey, you can make your own ship. Hey, here's like a pretty intense like customer or like custom character creation. You know, there's like, here are these really like emergent stories that are playing out in space and on the worlds and all these exploration elements and all these things. Like, I think it seems like they're doing some cool stuff, and I am more excited about it than I have been so far. I just still have those reservations just about like the amount of stuff that they have going on, if it's going to really hold up. So
yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, I think, entirely there. I wasn't that all excited about it because I was more worried about it. And after seeing everything that they showed off, I'm more excited about it. They seemed very confident with what they were showing. They almost showed too much. I think that's why I texted you. I watched all of it. And at the end, I'm like, well, I feel like I know everything now, kind of a thing. Which I'm sure I don't. But, I mean, they covered almost every corner you could think of in the presentation, which I think was to kind of squash a lot of those worries from people. I mean, this game is, in my opinion, this isn't a knock to Starfield. This isn't a knock to No Man's Sky, but it feels just a more grounded No Man's Sky, which No Man's Sky is a great game now. It launched horribly, but it's incredible. And I'd say my biggest worry with the two, because it is very much inspired by it, is that Starfield might take a too grounded approach. I remember playing No Man's Sky and coming across like a steel honeycombed planet. Like, I flew into the atmosphere and the whole planet is just like the steel honeycomb, like ground, like trees, everything. And I'm like, what the flying F? This is so cool, kind of a thing. Yep. And I can't see Starfield trying to make something that wacky with what they've shown in a universe and a cosmos of everything and everywhere you can go. I'm worried that it's all going to feel just so, unimaginative. At least what they've shown so far seems very, a lot of grays, a lot of neutrals, a lot of desert planets. There doesn't seem to be a ton of life, a ton of great things or imaginative things to see, at least what they've shown. But with that being said, like you said, shooting aspect of it looks really cool. I think the building of your ship, customizing your ship and having a whole crew, that looks sick. I'm so into that, kind of like min-max micromanagement idea of it. I think there's a lot that they haven't shown us still, but it looks like they've taken a lot of inspiration from No Man's Sky, a little inspiration from the BioWare games with the romanceable NPCs, and bring those along, like taking, essentially turning into more of a quest than a thing. That's just, that just happens.
Yeah.
Very excited for it. It remains to be seen if I'll be able to play it when it comes out, really.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to giving it a shot. And I mean, fortunately, I have an Xbox.
You do have an Xbox
right here. Yeah. And you know, so things like Fable, things like Starfield, yeah. You know, if they're hitting, I'll be playing them. So it's exciting.
Very exciting. Yeah. Trying to think, is there anything that we really missed?
I mean, there was a lot of stuff, but yeah. I mean, there was
Star Wars Outlaws.
There was Star Wars Outlaws, which is an Ubisoft open world Star Wars game, kind of from, I think it's between like episodes 5 and 6, and has kind of like has a Han Solo energy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And also but they showed seems
good. A little unpolished, but I'm like, I like the bones of this. Like, it has good structure.
Yeah, looks really cool. Showed off some Alan Wake 2 gameplay. Ooh,
yeah, you're pumped for that.
Which looked really cool. There was a lot of stuff.
They showed off enough of Alan Wake 2 that I'm excited for it, but I'm also kind of worried because everything they're saying is like, no, this is horror. This is a horror game. Like, this isn't like psychological or like atmospheric. This is a horror game, like through and through. I'm like, well, I am excited, but I'm a little trepidatious now.
Yeah. I mean, the benefit, at least on my end, is that like at this point I've played Resident Evil 7.
I did pick up Resident Evil 8.
I feel like it can't outscare Resident Evil 7 at least. Yeah. And I mean, Alan Wake itself was, it's hard to tell until the game comes out, like to what extent. I mean, Alan Wake itself was a horror game, and even Control had elements that were like even though they didn't call it a horror game, like it's still,
there's plenty of moments
felt borderline in some places.
Very unsettling.
Yeah. It may not, they may just be kind of like trying to define it and really kind of set it that way, but it may not end up being as scary as they're making it out to be, but
who knows?
Kind of remains to be seen. Shut off, I think, what else? Like a little bit more Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah.
They had, did they have, I know that there was some Armored Core 6 news. I can't remember if that was like Summer Game Fest related or if that just happened to kind of come out.
Clockwork Revolution, which looks very BioShock.
Yeah. It looks really interesting. There was also South of Midnight. Looked pretty cool. It was just a trailer, but it was very like magical realism, like Southern Americana, like fantasy occult kind of stuff. Looked really cool. That is made by the same people that made We Happy Few.
Yep.
Interesting. I have We Happy Few. I've never played it because I know like the general consensus was looks really cool. Not as fun to play, but that looked really neat. They also, what else do they have? Forza Motorsport. One that I missed that did kind of get me excited was Avowed by Obsidian. They also showed that at the Xbox showcase. That is Obsidian's first person fantasy game set in the Pillars of Eternity universe, which is their like big, similar to Divinity, Original Sin kind of thing.
Kind of their D&D take.
But gave off big like Skyrim energy. And so
huge
kind
Skyrim
of
Skyrim energy.
Yeah. So gave me the sense that it's like, okay, like maybe this could kind of fill that spot. Like, cause I mean, we're not going to get Elder Scrolls 6 until like 2035. So, you know, it's
maybe.
Yeah. So the fact that like Obsidian is, I mean, they are like fantasy powerhouses, like they know what they're doing. And you know, the fact that they're like putting together this kind of thing, it looks like it's going to be really cool. Mm-hmm. That comes out in 2024, who knows when, but yeah, excited about it.
They also showed off more Hellblade 2, Sinuous Sacrifice. Oh, so freaky. That's so cool.
Yeah. That was there was a lot of other stuff in there. I mean, we're missing a lot of things, but
we could probably talk about so many of these things, like just these things we've tossed in passing. I think a strong showing of games to come. Again, there's really nothing that's dropping soon, barring Starfield and Final Fantasy 16. I guess Spider-Man 2. Everything was like, it's kind of next year. And so, I mean, I feel like this year we've seen a little bit of like that delayed COVID release, like everything that probably should have come out in like maybe late 21, early 22, like all that stuff has pretty much come out this year. And I think we're going to see like next year is going to be even more kind of jammed pack with that back end. And then next year we're also, we will be 4 years into the new console life cycles, which around like PS4 time was when like the Spider-Man 2, God of War, Spider-Man came out, God of War came out.
Yep.
I started this and now I'm blanking on other releases, but there's a lot of releases during that time window around the 4 to 6 year mark of games.
Yeah. I mean, that was whenever, I mean, yeah, during that like 2017, 2018 to 2020, I mean, you had your like Spider-Man, God of War, Red Dead 2.
Yeah, Red Dead 2.
Last of Us Part 2 came out in
Ghost of Tsushima. 2020.
Yeah. Some big beefy things usually come out in that middle part of the cycle.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see like next year is going to be the start of that. I mean, there's a lot of beefy games that are coming out right now. Like we said, Final Fantasy 16's out. Diablo 4 came out. Jedi Survivor is out. Beat that yesterday, by the way.
What?
Mm-hmm. I had to wrap it up because you just got that from vacation and I'm going on vacation.
Ooh.
So I had to wrap that up before because we come back next Thursday when the game drops. And I'm like, I have to beat it before because if I don't, well, it's just getting left in the dust. A lot of heavy hitters this year.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big deal. Yeah. Corey, anything you want to highlight that you've been playing?
No, I mean,
before we wrap it up?
I imagine next week when we record, I'll probably give my full consensus on Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I mean, I don't want to do it now. We've had a fairly focused and beefy pod so far. But I really liked it. I really, really liked it. I don't have a ton of negative things to say about it. It's just more of I give it a strong 7. But I'll go into more of it next week, and we'll probably talk Final Fantasy 16, I imagine, as well. But
I didn't play a ton since we've been out, but I'm back in on Zelda.
Cheers.
Going through it, doing that thing. So that's been the big thing. Would love to play Diablo 4, but it's basically been a thing where it's like, man, I just need to keep, I want to keep playing Tears of the Kingdom, so I might as well just keep working through it and, you know, get as far through it as I can, and then Final Fantasy 16 come out and kind of pick that up and go between them and do that thing. And
yeah, whenever you pick up Diablo 4, let me know, because we're playing together.
Absolutely. When are you going on vacation, Corey?
Tomorrow morning.
Ooh, no. Look at you.
Yeah, I'll be back Wednesday night, so not super long.
Love it.
So I'll be back in time, and I'm bringing my Switch with me to play more Tears of the Kingdom. I guess quick Kingdom minute. I did what's it called? Goro Town? The Gorons?
Okay. The Gerudo?
Gerudo? No, not Gerudo.
Or not Gerudo. No, yeah. Goron City.
I did Goron City. Yeah. So I've done 3 of the main regional phenomenons, and I'm on my way to Zora for my final one.
Okay, nice.
I made a pit stop in the depths in between and did a little bit more of that. My battery is now like a decent ways up too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have like 12 bars. No, maybe a bit more of battery, which is really cool because now I like some of the ideas I have are more like fruitful. I'm like, ooh, I can, if I build something, it's going to last significantly longer now than it did in the past.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just a game that, like, the as you're getting farther and, like, getting more, I think it's rewarding some more of your creativity. Like, no, you can do this, and it's going to be worth your time to do it. But I checked, like, my, I have, like, 110 hours in it right now. And, yeah, I love it. I'm calling it right now, it's game of the year. I don't know if anything's going to beat it, Chris. I really don't. Nor do I really want anything to.
Nor do you want anything to.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand. I know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful. It's magical.
Yeah. Nothing new really for me in Zelda. Just still finding new stuff, doing cool things.
Yeah.
You know, it's a magical experience. Yeah. Corey. But yeah. Next week is Final Fantasy 16.
Which is having raving reviews on the demo that dropped.
Yeah, demo dropped. A lot of people are super excited about it. So it's a...
Haven't touched it.
I'm looking forward to...
I want to play it. I just want to play it.
So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what that all looks like. But yeah, we'll at least have, I'm sure, a few early thoughts for that next episode. But yeah, Corey. Until then, where can people find you on the internet while you're gone if they want to see what you're doing and or
Nashville.
Learn about your life?
It's nothing super exciting. If you want to see my post in Nashville, follow me over on #SlingingThrasher on Instagram. I won't post anything on Twitter about my Nashville trip. But that's Stay Thrashy on Twitter, or more importantly, our Twitter page @arcade_cozy, where you can see a couple of posts from my Jedi Survivor playthrough.
Yeah, boy.
What about you, Chris?
You can find me at 4PointPixel on Instagram, Swiss Von Joe on Twitter, Arcade Cozy on Instagram as well, or arcadecozy@gmail.com. Intro outro music, Johnny B. Good 89 on Instagram. Find him, love him. He's very cool. But yeah, Corey, very excited. Have a good trip. Enjoy yourself.
I shall.
But whenever we get back, it's wartime. In the darkest and most intense way, with Final Fantasy 16.
Yes.
Very excited for it. Corey, this has been Arcade Cozy. Life is hectic. Why should your hobbies be too?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Bum 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 ba bum ba bum bum bum. Bing.